Good morning, everyone. I'll now call the General Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the Council Chambers are available upon request from staff in our Clerk's office. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of Council who have to disclose pecuniary interest? Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of General Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first to that item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for our consideration at the next meeting. Staff Report 2019-1 regarding proposed 2019 budget. Councillor DeBoer, thank you. Yeah, I wasn't going to say approved that quick. Nice try, Mr. CAO. Staff Report 2019-2 regarding Ontario Regulations 284-09 2019 budget. Mayor Thompson, do you want to hold this? This is a routine report. Do you have any questions? Okay. Staff Report 2019-5 regarding proposed 2019 fees bylaw. Okay, a hold by Mayor Thompson. So we'll go to Staff Report 2019-1 regarding proposed 2019 budget, that the 2019 operating budget net increase of $3,747,410, representing a 5.79% average residential tax increase to the town levy, only be approved. That the 2019 budget be approved at the next town tax levy amount of an estimated $68,489,911, inclusive of a base operating budget increase of $3,203,691, inclusive of $1,563,611 in recommended changes in service levels as outlined in Schedule B of Staff Report 2019-001, and B, additional tax levy funded capital of $1,836,581 for a total tax funded capital program of $19,575,877 as outlined in Schedule A of Staff Report 2019-001, that for 2019, 50% assessment growth revenues in the amount of $646,431 be used to offset the financial impact of the town's tax-funded capital program, that for 2019, the remaining 50% assessment growth revenues of $646,431 be used to offset the financial impact of the base operating budget, that the continuation of a special levy for broadband of $300,000 be approved, that the town's operating budget in the gross expense budget amount of $100,543,372 be approved, funded from the sources listed below, as listed, that the 2019 capital program expenditures and funding sources in the gross capital budget amount of $46,222,519, as listed in Schedule A of Staff Report 2019-1, be approved and funded from the funding sources as follows, listed as noted, that the town receives Ontario Community Infrastructure Funding grant funding for 2019 of $1,247,096 allocated to the 2019 grant to Capital Project 19-098. Oh my gosh. Mississauga Road Stabilization Works. Okay, normally we read the whole thing. Everybody has it in front of them. We could probably put it up on the board, too, so that everybody has it, because there's more and more pages. Is everybody comfortable with that, or do you want me to continue reading the whole thing? Comfortable?
I'm having trouble getting it called up on the computer here. So I don't know if, I've only got this afternoon's meeting and tonight's meeting on the computers, all this coming up for some reason.
Okay, we're just going to take a 1 minute pause and we'll get it put up on the screen too for you. I guess in the meantime, do you want me to continue reading? Because there's multiple pages, we'll just give everyone a moment to scan through it, and then we'll flip to the next page. Thank you. And before we can start, I need a mover and a seconder. Doesn't mean that you're supporting the budget. It just means that we can discuss it. Mayor Thompson, Councillor DeBoer. And while the board is lit up, Councillor DeBoer did hold it, so he gets to speak first.
Thank you. I do have one motion to add to this as a starting point. And then I would further, as we talk about the rest of the budget, cover off a couple more topics and a few questions. But the one motion that we'd like to put on the floor is that the 10-year capital forecast be approved in principle and that staff be directed to investigate moving the CECC Phase 4 expansion from the 2027 term of council to the 2023 term of council.
Okay, and so I'm going to clear the board, but I've made note of who has requested to bring forward their motions in the next sequence. So once we've discussed this, then I will bring up the next, which would be Councillor Sinclair, okay? So those wishing to speak to the board, I'm going to let Councillor DeBoer speak first.
The desire...
and I need a seconder. Councillor Downey.
The desire here is to bring the two, Phase 3 and Phase 4, a little bit close together, so they're actually one after the other here in Caledon East. It's the expansion to the Caledon East facility. We have as the term of council project Phase 3 this year. Phase 4 was actually after the Mayfield West number 2 facility. Spoke to the councillors representing that area, and we came to an agreement that we could move Phase 4 together. So what would happen within this community as the building within Caledon East tends to conclude, because it'll be happening over the course of the next 6 years, we'll actually finish the recreation facility next door about the same time as the construction here in this community will finish up over the next 2 terms. So we're not looking at bringing, at this point in time, we're not bringing Phase 4 into the same time as Phase 3, but just into the next term of council. And that's all the ask is that we just flip the two items. They're both identified within the 10-year capital plan. It's just wanting to bring one ahead of the other.
Thank you. There's no other speakers on the board. And I just want to say that I think that it's important for the Village of Caledon East in the sense of its development is all going to be completed. It will reach its 2031 population allocation with the development applications that have come forward, minus one that's still left to come forward from Walker's Road West. And it would be nice that since we've started the construction on phase three, that we will be starting that, that we don't pause for 2 years and then go back and have that building under construction again, that it would be more of a seamless transition and that the community center would be completed and all of the development in Caledonies would be completed. And then this village can move on from having it sort of being bombarded with development and the work that's going to happen along Airport Road. I just think that this is a nice way to tidy up the projects and make it neater and more livable for the residents, having them live through construction in a short amount of time as opposed to 8 to 10 years is better for them in the long run. So thank you to Councillor Downey and Early for agreeing to work this through with the master plan and the capital. Councillor Grubbs.
Actually, it's not on this motion. I do have some motions to bring forward.
Oh,
so I'll,
okay.
Yeah.
I have you on the list. Okay. So moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Downey, that the following paragraph be added, that the 10-year capital forecast be approved in principle and staff be directed to investigate moving CECC Phase 4 expansion from the 2027 term of council to the 2023 term of council. All those in favor? Carried. Thank you. So next on the list was Councillor Sinclair.
Now, can I get some direction on our point of order here? This is staff report 2019-1 we're on.
Through Chair Innes, yes, we are on 2019-001, which is the proposed 2019 budget.
Well, I guess the motion that's in the report basically says that the 2019 operating budget net increase and so on and so on be approved. So if we're amending it, aren't all our amendments unfriendly to the motion that's on the floor?
No, the motions would be germane to the motion on the floor. You're adding to that motion.
So we're amending the main motion then?
That is correct.
So all the numbers may change.
That is correct. And finance staff is here and can show on the screen the numbers as amended.
So how do we deal with various motions we wish to amend in the budget then? Now?
Yes. So you can present them one by one, should you wish.
All right. I have several. Is it possible to bring up the, when do we deal with fees?
That will be two more to go.
So that's not part of this motion, the fees?
No, this is just the budget. The fees bylaw will be dealt with separately. So save those ones.
I guess I have to sort through here. The building department. So the motion is that the following paragraph be added, that the 2019 budget be amended to remove the funded change in service level number 23, building coordinator and building inspector, in the amount of $190,264, funded by the building permit stabilization reserve fund, and that a thorough review of the building department's performance and procedures be completed by June 2019, with the results of the review subsequently reported to council.
Okay, I need a seconder. Doesn't mean that you support it, it just means that we can have a discussion. Councillor Groves. Sorry, go ahead, Councillor Sinclair.
It turns out during the election, I learned that the Caledon Building Department is a major concern among constituents, certainly in Ward 1. And without exception, every time I canvassed a gateway with a yellow Town of Caledon building permit sign displayed, I knew I was in for an earful from the owners. So slow service after application, 2 to 4 months to an issuance of a permit. Long permitting delays leading to loss of contractors and trades who must move on. Staff excessively picky over minor details. A stream of added requests for information long after the initial application. No staff recognition of the cost to residents of delay and requests for added information. Little recognition of certified professional stamps, architects and engineers, worker questioned, and professional consultants from outside of Caledon declaring to the owners they will refuse future work in Caledon. We have a chronic problem here, and I notice the budget page reports that there is a stonking 31,175 outstanding permits. So we need a complete review very quickly of this department, which appears to be in chronic failure. So that's the motion. Get a review, get it done fast, and get things straightened out.
Thank you. Ms. Tollett?
Thank you, Chair Ennis, to Councillor St. Clair. So the notice of motion in front of you there, or the amendment to the budget, that request is actually to deal with the enforcement project within building. It has nothing to do with building services itself. So the enforcement project, just to provide some clarity, is to deal with the 31,000 outstanding open building permits. Probably more than half of those building permits are administrative that just need to be reviewed, closed. The other probably 11,000, which I have a memo that I can share to council shortly that speaks to the other 11,000, which are open permits. They're fairly old. They need investigation. They need to open the permit file. They need to deal with the residents. We have a communication plan that we wanted to roll out to kind of bring those permits into closure, because having this many open permits gives risk to the town, because you have a lot of open permits. There's risk to the owner, there's risk to the commercial, and having these permits open also is lost revenue, because these assessment values of properties are not correct because the permits have been closed. We haven't able to update MPAC on that information. So the whole purpose of that FTE is to actually focus to close those permits. In 2017, there was an attempt to have a contract person for that, one inspector. However, it's impossible to do that job with a contract position because the person's here for a couple months. Contract people are come and go. When we had the FTE for a contract in 2017 budget, so in early part of 18, they were only able to close about 249 permits because the contract person was here for 8 months and then left. So this is actually the whole purpose of this unmet need is to actually put a full focus into this to clean up these permits, not the new ones. The new ones have to deal with the existing staff. The existing staff do not have the resources to look at these old ones. This is to dedicate resources to fix that problem. If council chooses for us to do a building permit review, we can, or the building department performance review, we can do that. The June timeline might be a little soon, because if you want a thorough review, that's going to take time, and staff will have to investigate if that will be additional resources, like external funding to come in to do that, a consultant, or unless you want it to do an internal. So we would have to look at that as well.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I think you can always ask, especially with new people around the table, an explanation of how the building department works and the concerns and examples. I think over the years you do learn a whole lot more of how the building department operates. I think adding another person in here is exactly what we've been asking for and what we've been trying to do for many, many years to try and address the concerns that Councillor St. Clair is talking about. We continue, and I know I continue to work with my residents and the building department to try and solve problems and make it work better. So I could accept the last portion of Councillor Sinclair's resolution, but I think as far as adding a person and adding this position is going to continue to take us take us down a road that's going to allow us to fix a lot of the problems that we've always continued to hear about, and try and resolve some of the outstanding issues, and especially with the implementation of the AMANA program and the changes there and following up. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have been implementing and we continue to work on, and this is just a continuation of that. So I would suggest that I would support having the review and having staff explain how the building department works within the corporation and within the town and what the responsibilities are, especially with the new members. But I wouldn't support not having this position or having this position removed.
Thank you. Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you. So I see both sides. I also heard from the residents in Ward 1 these same kind of complaints. And you have to remember that these people are just lay people. They don't know the ins and outs and the minutiae of the building permits. And often I actually heard of times where they would be given the list, actually someone I know personally, and to complete and then say, oh, yeah, we have to add this now. We have to add this now. We have to add this now. So I don't have a problem with that, adding another staff. I will support that, but I would like to look at the efficacy of the department. I've also been told that because people leave, then residents and their building permits get put on the back burner because that person left and no one else picks that up. That might not even be true, but it's someone's perception. And perception is their reality, right? So like Councillor DeBoer said, I would support an extra person, but I would like to see what kind of review comes back to us and what the efficacy, what the standard service level agreement is. And can we cut some of the red tape? You know, if we bring in this coordinator, can we dedicate that person to walk average folks through the process to get it all done one shot, not four shots? That's what I would like to see. So I won't support not bringing in another person, but I would support the last part of this as well. Thank you very much.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. And following on Councillor Kiernan's comments, this is something that I've been struggling with for many, many years here with residents in my community and people who have made applications is the process. The length of time that permits get issued, it's a problem. So we do need to have that review of the building department and see what the problem is and why we're not able to turn over these permits as quickly. Another problem, and Councillor Kiernan said it, is how many times we have people going back. When we send them back, it's a cost. Every time we send them back, it's a cost because then they have to go back to their architect or their engineer or whoever they go to, and it's an additional cost for them. That becomes a problem as well in really doing business. I know at the region, we're dealing with budget as well, and at the region we actually have 30,000 of these applications in the queue. And I reviewed our public works budget yesterday, and they are asking for a full-time person also just to get these things out of the queue. Having 30,000 of these application sitting there, it is lost revenues, as Ms. Tollett alluded to. So, and having 11,000, I think that's the number I heard, 11,000 sitting there, that's a problem. So I don't have a problem getting another staff, and I know this is what the conversation and the discussion I had with the commissioner at the region yesterday, because we do have 30,000 sitting there. But I do feel that it's necessary to do a review to understand why it's taking so long for building permits to be issued. Thank you. And really how to simplify it.
You, Mayor Thompson. It's not on. It's not on.
There we go. I don't disagree with the issues that have been going on, but I think there has been a considerable amount of improvement that has moved forward, but we definitely need to close these applications. And a lot of times people don't want to do that, especially for added apartments or whatever, because all of a sudden it's notified on impact. So it's, you know, really to have these closed off gives the occupancy, and isn't until they sell the home is when they have to get them closed off. So I agree that this is what we need to add. I understand where Councillor St. Clair is going, and I know different times with applications. So when I followed up, a lot of times there's been changes made, not notifying to the plans and the permits, and this makes it a complicated issue as well. And it's right, the professional contractors definitely know what they're doing, but when you get lay people, they think it's harmless in nature, but it really creates a problem when the inspector comes out. So there's a lot of challenges that are going forward here, but with the new change, I guess my question to Ms. Tollett is, we know there's new changes to the building code coming in April, I understand, correct? Or there's an update, and I'm just wondering, is that going to impede where we want to go on this to make sure that to meet the June deadline?
Ms. Tollett?
Through you, Chair Ennis, to Mayor Thompson. So there is proposed changes in April, but I don't know if it's actually solidified that they're guaranteed. I don't think it would impact us doing a review. The timing of June might be because we're getting into busy season for building departments and people want their permits. So the time might not work.
Okay. My question is to support this on this budget line, to support this, but to ask for a performance review, that probably needs to come to council in general, not here at budget, correct?
Ms. Stollett?
I'm assuming it would come to general, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing other speakers on the board, I'll add my comments. So with regards to removing this from the budget, I don't agree with that. I think that we need to keep it in. I think that we're losing lost revenue. In the past 2 months, I've dealt with two different residents who have come forward because their building permits have now been processed through MPAC, and they are now due for their taxes, and they are being told they have to pay for the past 3 years, which is, so it's not only just an issue for us losing the revenue, it's also an issue for our residents who are now, you know, out 3 years of assessment, and that's a big lump sum of taxes that they have to pay. So us cleaning up this process not only helps with our assessment, but it also ensures that our residents know where they stand tax-wise. And so I support that. With regards to doing a review, I know that this is something that I had discussed with the CAO not that long ago. We had in the past done a planning review a few years ago where we brought in planners, developers, community members. We did roundtables. We streamlined the process. We came up with the DART system, the preliminary system. And I feel like we really do have a system that is now working in the planning aspect of things. It's functioning. I've heard nothing but positive reviews and responses from the community on that aspect. But the building department side is a different story. And so I would like to suggest, and I'm wondering if we could do it through council direction. I don't even know if it's necessary to do a motion to just do the same process for the building department. Let's bring in the developers, big and small, the builders, sorry, big and small. Let's bring in past applicants, both individuals and group applicants. Let's do questionnaires, things that we've done in the past to talk about the process and streamline and see if we can eliminate some of the red tape in the process and just enhance that part. And then we'll have a building and planning department that is functioning. So I'd ask the CAO if that's something that we can even do just through council direction or if it requires a motion.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. I think that, first of all, I have to inform council that what you just spoke about is actually on the work plan for 2019 for the general manager and some of her direct reports as far as a review. So certainly that is going to get underway. Council direction is perfectly fine. I'm happy with that because it is already underway. The other thing I have to just give some comments in relation to the building department is a lot of the concerns that have been expressed here today, I'm listening and I hear exactly what you're saying. But you also have to understand that especially places or departments like the building department, they are operating under the guidelines and the regulations of legislation. So sometimes they do not have a choice in the manner and the information that they request from residents. And if they didn't request the information that they are legally and legislatively required to collect, their accreditation as well as the town, from a insurance perspective or a lawsuit perspective, could be at play. Now, I'm not going to profess to say that that is all the cases, but I do want council to realize that one of the most heavily legislative departments is the building department, and then obviously the other one, all within Mrs. Tollett's portfolio, is the planning division as well. So I just don't want council to lose perspective that a lot of the rules are not rules of the town of Caledon. They're rules of the province of Ontario that we are obligated to follow through legislation. So, but we would be happy to take direction if that is the appropriate form that the councillor would like us to undertake. It is already being undertaken, and we will be presenting something to council sometime mid-year. So I'll leave it for council's consideration, and we'll follow the direction that the collective council gives us to follow.
Okay. So should this motion fail, I would leave that council direction with you. And if somebody, any other member of council, wishes to bring forward a notice of motion at the next general committee meeting, you're more than welcome to do that on this specific topic. There's still more speakers. Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. I think what we've got here is a major governance problem. And the town talks endlessly about customer service. And customer is a term from the consumer market, where consumers may go down the road if there's poor service. But the town has a monopoly over permits. There's only one place to get one, here. If you go shopping in the weekend to Orangeville, you can't pick one up. You go to Brampton for work, you can't pick one up there for Caledon. So in any market, customers may assess products and services for the quality, promptness, and courteous contact. And if they don't like it, they go down the road. You can't go down the road here. So we have a chronic problem here in the building department that has to be cleaned up. That's a governance problem. I'm well aware that there's statutory requirements in the building department. Really, what we're looking at is a mentality here where it seems residents and businesses looking for building permits to comply with the regulations are not being dealt with in a clear manner. So that the town has a total monopoly over building permits, and that's a power that requires careful oversight by council. And here we have in the budget, they want more money thrown at it. No guarantee that they're going to solve the problem at all. And that's the problem I have. Throw more money at it and everything will be okay. I don't think so. You know, if you look at this 31,000 plus outstanding permits, the town's been under in existence for 45 years, that would be around 700 permits a year not being solved. It's a staggering number. So that's what I'm looking for. Don't reward them with more money just now. There is some kind of building stabilization reserve that's mentioned. The money's still there. We can amend the budget sometime in June if we have a satisfactory performance review. Thank you.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I guess the concern that I have with just council direction, because I know we've given council directions and sometimes we don't see it coming back, and so I just want to make sure that there is a timeline and that we are going to get that review just under a council direction.
So, Councillor Groves, what I would recommend is at the next general committee meeting, you can bring forward a notice of motion that sets out what you would like to happen and the timelines within it, because a governance issue is not part of the budget discussion.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I don't think that the comment rewarding them by giving them more money is the answer. The tax-funded impact, the dollars will actually come out of the reserve, which is from the building department, which is collected from the fees. Directing the money from the fees that have already been paid to start to resolve a problem of not closed, it's not and you can correct me, I think the director can correct me, but they're permits that have never been closed. It's not that they're in arrears or there's issues with them. In some cases there might be, but the vast majority of them have just never been closed because residents or the applicants have never requested a final inspection.
Stalin?
Through your chair, NS to Councillor DeBoer, so it's around 11,000 permits that are still open that have not been closed, and some of them are greater than 5 years.
Yeah, and it's because, and I know that we've had a number of CBOs work hard at trying to deliver and improve, and we've come a long ways in delivering service, and I've watched a few people at the counter, and we've come a long ways from where we were. And I think that this is now having to become a priority. I think it probably was never a priority earlier. It maybe should have been, and maybe we should have been adding and looking at directing it, but we've never presented with this position to look at closing permits. So, you know, I think this is to resolve outstanding permit issues, and as the mayor speaks, it's to ensure that the information gets to impact as final construction, so the assessments can happen when they should be, and that all the work that was agreed to is completed. And, you know, that's the piece that needs to be done here. And as far as a review, I'd be happy to work with Councillor Groves, because I think it's very important, because I've spent a lot of time in the building department here with applications of my own as well as other ones, that it's very important for the people around the table here to have a firsthand knowledge of actually how and the responsibilities of the people in that department. I think it's also very important the discussion that the CBO has had and their associations in talking about how, for example, plans examiners become that role. I think it's very important that the system, we can implement certain things here to fix the problem, but there's inherent issues within the entire system. For example, plans examiners, there isn't a spot where you can go to school to get all the education to become a plans examiner. You come to it a number of different ways, and then you end up spending a lot of time getting courses and upgrades to fill in gaps. So I think that as far as municipalities are concerned, if we want to solve a bigger problem, I think there's a number of questions within how building departments operate, not operate, but how they are expected to operate and how they come to be, I think are very important. I think those are things that as a number of new councillors should find out, because yes, it's very easy to find fault, but the reality is I was here when we had a lawsuit against the town on a failure for inspection, and we had to go to court to defend the work that we did from the building department. And it's also important to realize that there is liability and risk when the town signs off on a building that says it's complete. So that's in some of it. And then the legislation. Take a look at the two binders. I think they have to have special binders made specifically for the building code, and there's two of them, and they're all about this thick, and we're responsible for it. So when we talk about the review, and I would work with Councillor Groves to come up with some terms as to what I think that we should be talking about and how other members of council need to find more information about how this department works. As part of it, but I still think that addressing this with a new role and a job and trying to continue to the work that we've been doing, and I know the CBO is here, and to continue the work that her and the successor has been doing, because we have come a long ways. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. So just on a closing note, I'm torn on both of these things. So, again, I would support adding the extra staff. I don't want to overburden an already burdened system. But, I can't support the June 2019 because I can see that would be a real stretch for the department. So a review, yes, but maybe we can stretch that out. I'd also like to comment on what Councillor Innes said about, you know, getting these systems in where we can share best practices, bringing in, as Mr. Galloway have said, we are going to implement that. I think that's a good start. But I also have to acknowledge Councillor Sinclair's talk about customer service, because I've had, you know, women widowed trying to sell their home now in tears because the building inspector has come multiple times, and every time he comes he adds something new to the list to, yes, you're right, unclosed renovation permits. probably they didn't know any better. They're just lay people. They don't know. And when asked for assistance, well, who do I call to get this done? I don't know. Not my problem. So that you know, is a human thing that we can do better on. I think that we can do better. I think we must do better on that. You know, they're our clients. Our residents are our clients. And I guess, you know, we want to treat them the way we want to be treated. So let's make sure we get this done if we're doing an inspection on a one-shot, not four different times where we add something every time. And, you know, I have faith that the department can get this going and set down some kind of a service standard. And I would definitely embrace that. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, motion moved by Councillor St. Clair, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Sorry, the motion is on the board by Councillor St. Clair to remove. Let's all pay attention, everyone. The motion on the board by Councillor St. Clair, seconded by Councillor Groves. I'll read it just to make sure everyone's paying attention. That the 2019 budget be amended to remove the funded change in service level number 23, building coordinator and building inspector, in the amount of $190,264, funded by the building permit stabilization reserve fund, and that through a thorough review of the building department's performance and procedures be completed by June 2019, with the results of the review subsequently reported to council. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. I look forward to the notice of motion coming forward from Councillor Groves and Councillor DeBoer. Councillor St. Clair, you have another?
Yes, thank you. Hopefully less controversial. This deals with Caledon Trailway and Queen Street in Alton. And there's two former station lands on the trailway, one in...
We have to read the motion to have a mover and seconder, and then you can discuss. Is this the that 2019 capital be amended to include a new capital project in the amount of $50,000?
Yes.
Funded by the tax levy for topographic surveys to characterize the drainage of the former station lands located along the Caledon Trailway in Inglewood and a 30-meter radius around the lands, Queen Street West in Village of Alton from Main Street to Mississauga Road, and a 30-meter beyond the road right-of-way not already included in the current Queen Street environmental assessment. Moved by Councillor Sinclair, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. Sure. Okay. Go ahead, Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. So we have a station lands in Inglewood with a live railway, and there's been some sputtering work at doing something with as a nodal park along the trailway. And certainly in Caledon East, there's a very nice park, mainly connected with the former Trans-Canada Trailway. Former Councillor Nancy Stewart pushed to get something done up in Palgrave. And Inglewood is sputtering, and down in Terracotta, there's approximately 5 acres there, which I think might be part of a additional motion coming forward. And nothing's been done in Terracotta for the 30 years, odd years, we've owned the trailway. To do any work, you have to obtain careful topographic surveys of the land in order to understand what waters are coming onto the land, what lands are, waters are leaving the land. So this is a basic work intended to get us this information on which we can then do some planning for future parks there. So former station lands along the Caledon Trailway in Inglewood, which has a live railway through it. Former station lands are located along the Terracotta. And then Queen Street West in the Village of Alton. It's important when you're rebuilding a road, which is a capital project of the town already, to understand what the topographic land levels are either side of the roadway. We ran into a major problem in Caledon Village with MTO raising the highway through the village and changing drainage and basically burying the fronts of houses and businesses. So that's what this is about, looking for $60,000 to do it. Thank you.
$50,000, correct? Mine says $50,000. The CAA wants to go with 40. Just kidding. Councillor St. Clair, would you prefer to read 60?
Maybe we could ask staff for the
cost. Does Mr. Wong, is there a cost?
Thank you, Chair Innes. If we're looking at all three that was mentioned by Councillor St. Clair, the cost would be $60,000. The two that are listed on the screen with this amendment, that would be the 50. So that's where the confusion is. If we're talking about all three, Inglewood, the station lands around Inglewood, station lands around Terracotta, and the Queen Street topographical surveys there, that would be $60,000.
Do I need an amendment? Because it's been on the floor. Councillor Sinclair, you want all three included?
Well, I don't know. I thought that in a conversations meeting with staff yesterday that there was no topographic work available for the station land in Terracotta. I understand there's some other motion out there for $35,000 or something, and I have no idea what's included in the $35,000 or what the intent of that motion is.
Mr.
So maybe what we should do is deal with the $50,000 motion,
okay,
which deals with Alton and Inglewood. And then if there isn't sufficient funds in the $35,000 for the Terracotta lands, we may be increasing that budget at that time.
Okay, so we'll leave it as is.
Yes.
Did you have any other comments before my list of speakers?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. I'm happy to support the intent of this, but I think there needs to be a little bit more added, just as per the conversation. The $35,000 that is listed in unfunded in the pink sheets, basically of capital projects for Terracotta, lists not only topographic surveys, but landscape and grading plan, vegetation survey, architectural plans, stamped and engineered plans, heritage report, erosion control, visual impact assessment, stormwater management report, and environmental impact study, so that the construction budget can be proposed for future. I'd like to see them all grouped together. If we're going to bring them up all together, and maybe some direction from staff as to if you were to be hiring outside consultation to do that work, if we could group them together and have that work done for all three sites instead of having it cut up here and there.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. That project is not my project. However, if we are going to do topographical surveys, we would hire one consultant to do all three.
All three, exactly. Okay.
Mayor Thompson?
So I would be supportive of that if they were all put together.
Mayor Thompson, did you want to amend this motion by adding yours?
No, and one reason why I'm saying is to do the one that I'm trying to bring forward out of the pink sheets, it breaks it down on the trailway on the design is what Councillor Downey said, but it breaks it down like there's 8,000 of the tax levy funding and 26,000 of the parkland development charges funding. So it isn't just a tax. Like, you understand there's two bases of funding, and I don't want to lose that to help this, because this really isn't impacting the taxpayer that much, but it's something to move forward. So that's why I was trying to keep it as a separate entity. I understand where you're going, but I think I'm more lean towards where Councillor Sinclair is going at this point in time, because it does break out what these two things are. And a topographical survey is part of it, but I think there's a whole lot being done differently here on the funding.
So you don't want to add it at this point?
I don't think it should, because okay, it breaks it out to it explains where it's all coming from. Unless we can amend it.
Well, what I'm suggesting is you can amend this motion by adding yours into it.
Okay.
So
sure,
that it's all done at once.
All it done in one. If we can we do that? I guess, Madam Clerk.
You can make an amendment. It's not.
If I can amend the motion with what it says here,
yeah,
breaking it out.
So that's
how
20,
it's paid for.
So that
I
the 20,
have no issue with that.
Okay. So then
if
you would amend it that the 2019
okay
budget
that
be amended to
yeah
add the unfunded capital project 19-125 Terra Cottage Railway parking rest area design in the amount of $35,000 funded by $8,225 tax levy funding and $26,775 of parkland development charges reserve funding, so that that be added to Councillor St. Clair's motion. I need a seconder. Councillor Rosa. Okay, I'm going to clear the board. We're only speaking to the amendment.
Can we? You want the amendment up?
Sure. Oh, you can just put that.
Okay, just to the amendment. We're only speaking to the amendment. Councillor DeBoer.
Well, I think if the mayor was wanting to add this one to it, it's good to add it to Councillor Sinclair's motion so that we're having similar works and like works completed all at once.
Yeah.
My question would be is, and this works, just so I kind of understand, because I really didn't ask about this project, but this will get us to, with enough information and drawings done to do an approved site in Terracotta.
Ms. Tullett?
And go ahead.
Sorry, through you, Chair Ennis, to Councilor DeBoer. So this would do the design of, the studies work for that area, and then design for later on a future parking lot, which would be a separate capital project that would have to come back in a future budget.
So what this would do is give us the information of a shovel-ready project, essentially.
Basically, yes, the study work and everything related to that project, yes.
Can under, because if I read this correctly, you're going to be at roughly $100,000 with Ian's 50 or 60, and I know this is leading into the next part, but can you get all three projects to that same spot, seeing as they're packaged together and the work is quite similar? Could you get drawings, essentially shovel-ready projects for all three, so that we can possibly have it as a capital project in the next year, in the next budget?
Mr. Wong?
Through Chair Innes, I'm not quite certain what is being proposed for Inglewood. I mean, we are doing the topographical survey to study the drainage flows in the area. The next steps would be dependent upon what is envisioned for that area, and we don't have that yet. In terms of Queen Street and Alton, what is being requested, so we have an environmental assessment currently being done in that area, and that it does cover topographical within the town's right-of-way. What this is asking for is going beyond the town's right-of-way. So that information is supplemental to the EA and to be used for future projects. But there is really no direction right now in terms of moving forward with anything more than topographical surveys for those other two.
But if, and I think you had the comment about not knowing what you want to do in Terracotta, a conclusion in Terracotta?
Through Chair Ennis, no, my comment was for Inglewood and Queen Street. Terracotta, there is a separate project for Terracotta, and I think this is what is causing some confusion. It's proposed to be, I believe, a parking area, and the topographical is required before you do the design, and then they're going forward to complete the design to do a parking area. What is envisioned for Inglewood, I don't have a clear understanding or direction as to what we have envisioned. So what we're doing right now, what's being requested, is to start off with a topographical. And I believe based on that, council and staff can, and perhaps residents, can look at what is possible. But I believe this is Councillor Sinclair's motion, so he may have some more information as to what the next steps would be after the topographical.
So the topographical would actually lead us into the development limits per se and what you can actually do and what you can carry on the sites. So really the benefit here then is having the same person do the three jobs to the topographical map area, but he's going to conclude and take the Terracotta project farther if it's passed the way the amendment is and the original motion. Is that correct?
Mr. Wong?
Through you, Chair Ennis, I believe that's correct. It is not my project, but I believe that the topographical survey will be passed along to the design people, to look at what is possible based on the drainage flows and so on.
The dollar figure there, if you're looking at, well, you got 35 for the terracotta project, but 60 for the other two, it seems like you're getting a whole 50. Lot better deal and a whole lot more bang for your buck on the terracotta one. Is there a reason for why the dollars don't seem to make sense? Is it just the scope of the work, or it's just not knowing as much?
Through Chair Ennis, we will still have to tender out the for the work, but based on cost estimates, it is a large area that we're looking at in terms of Queen Street in Alton, as compared to the Inglewood and the terracotta projects.
Okay. It would be nice to take those other two farther, but we really, I guess, don't have enough information unless it can work kind of concurrently as you have the one person retained, whether you could take it farther as you get the topographical done, like whether there's an opportunity to get more work out of this individual if he's doing more or less the same thing in terracotta. I guess we just have to see how this plays out.
Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
Yeah, to talk about this terracotta one has been in the, it's now, this is its third year getting here this far. But what it is it's an old rail station where they used to load brick and used to have cattle yards there. And it's a fairly large property. It's about almost 6 acres in area. And it's a huge asset. Instead of asking people to park on the side of the road, we can get them park in there. We're pretty sure there's a pretty good land base, but we just got to go through and validate everything. And it's a town asset that's sitting there that's not being utilized. The challenge is the north side of the trailway is controlled under Niagara Escarpment Commission, and the south side is not. So where we're going forward is, I think this is why we need to do the study too, because we got to appease the NEC as well. But I think this is a huge asset, and especially when they get in Winston Churchill opened up in the next calendar year, this is definitely going to create more pressures that we need to do something. So I think it's important, and that's why I was asking to bring this forward, is I think we need to deal and get this in planning, because definitely next year it's going to get really interesting if we don't do something.
Thank you. Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. I hear here on Mayor Thompson's comments about an important asset, and that's my intention. As terracotta has been the center for various jogging runs and bike races and so on, so a lot of people end up congregating there, and I'm aware that there are parking problems on some of the back roads, particularly near the community center. But at the same time, I'm quite leery about anyone leaving this meeting thinking that we're looking at a 5-acre parking lot there. I would hope that we get basic information together and then hold a design charrette with the residents of Terracotta, trail users, and possibly some of the event organizers, and get some interesting ideas for the entire property, some of which might be parking. So I don't want to alarm anyone that we're looking at some huge coming and going. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. I will speak to the Inglewood portion of this because, apropos what Mr. Wong said, you're not aware.
Sorry, Councillor Kiernan, you have to speak to the main motion.
Sorry, I am.
I know, but this is just the amendment. We have to pass the amendment first, and then you can speak to it. So it's a procedural thing.
I just want to update everyone.
I know.
That no one knows what's going on in Inglewood. But
when we get to the main motion, you'll be first
okay.
up.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So we just have to vote on the amendment first. Moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favor? All those in favor? Carried. Now to the main moment, and I'm going to let Councillor Kiernan go first. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Through your chair. I just want to, and Councillor Sinclair as well, 2+ years ago, I got involved with the region is undertaking an upgrade to the wastewater plant system in Inglewood, and they have presented and, to the best of my knowledge, approved the parking lot being widened, extended, a roadway being put through at the trailhead there. I got involved because I thwarted them putting bathroom facilities in. Because there, and I think the mayor is nodding because he remembers this specifically, right, sir? And so the fact is there's already region projects approved. I don't know when they're coming forward. Perhaps we can look into that as far as Inglewood goes. So I think that needs to be brought forward and looked at. Thank you.
Perhaps that could be direction to Mr. Wong to make sure that we have those discussions with our regional counterparts. Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
I just remember last year or the year before that we did a drainage study, or did we approve a drainage study, or there wasn't enough information for Alton?
Mr. Wong.
And I'm just wondering, is this similar work, or is this an addition to that work because there's some gaps?
Mr. Wong.
Through you, Chair, and it's the... We are working on drainage studies, I believe, in Alton and Caledon Village.
So is this fitting in with that project then, or because this is a topographical, talks about drainage, and are we overlapping it here, or is it complementary?
Through Chair Ennis, this would be additional work outside of the scope of those studies.
Additional work. Okay, so but it's additional work that will help us come to a conclusion with regards to resolving the issues within the village.
Yes.
It should, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor St. Clair, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. Main motion as amended. All those in favor? Carried. Councillor St. Clair, do you have any others?
Probably more contentious that the 2019 budget be amended to increase the scope of capital project number 19-073 growth related roads program to include the construction and design of Kennedy Road from Highway 9 to Charleston Side Road and Heart Lake Road from Beech Grove Side Road to Charleston Side Road in the amount of $10,631,753 funded from $5,554,311 of tax levy funding and $5,077,442 of road development charges reserve funding.
Thank you. Before I ask for a seconder, I'm just going to remind staff, because we have made a change to the budget, could you please put those numbers up so that all of council is aware of the change in the numbers as well as those that are here today? Ms. Hare?
Through the chair to Councillor Innes, or sorry, to the chair, this shows the motion that's on the floor right now. We can also, it doesn't. So this is what's been passed.
So this is where we're at right now?
Yes, excluding the motion that Sinclair just put on.
So after each motion, I would ask staff to put this back up so that all of council knows where we are as well as the residents that are in the audience today. Thank you. Sorry. So main motion moved by Councillor Sinclair. I need a seconder. Councillor Kiernan. Did you want to speak to this, Councillor Sinclair?
Yes, please. Certainly canvassing during the election, I've heard from residents all up and down both of these roads, Kennedy and Heart Lake, about having their front ends smashed in their vehicles, wheels torn off, tires punctured in sharp edges of potholes, and a general state of disrepair. And also a farmer told me that moving equipment up and down the road, they had to go extremely slowly because of the no suspension on other than tires on the tractor. They were getting thrown around terribly, and comments about children bouncing up and down in school buses. The roads are in dreadful condition. I imagine a huge amount of the pothole-filling budget that's reported in the main budget here before us goes just to shoveling in a bit of asphalt mix into these potholes for the entire lengths of both of these roads. And really, the roads are what people see and experience every day, and as taxpayers, they're quite alarmed about the disrepair of these roads. Now, this isn't a staff fault problem. It's that the hard surfacing was simply put over whatever was the existing base material. Underneath, there's probably corduroy roads through the wetlands still underneath. And I guess I'm not clear on the level of standard of reconstruction that's being considered here. I'd be looking at some hope for engineering value added here, where you might consider grinding the existing asphalt into the base, probably adding some existing liquid asphalt, and then placing quite a lift, maybe 8 inches of A gravel on top of engineering fabrics, so you have a soil separation. If they're talking about digging out the entire base for the length, that's a huge job. At any rate, the residents really need help up there. That's what this is about. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Mr. Wong to respond, but when I do, I'm going to also ask that you include, especially for our new members of council, about our roads program and how those roads are selected to be developed, because I think a lot of our new councillors may not have an understanding of how that program works.
Certainly. I'll turn it to you. Thank you, Chair Innes. If you don't mind, I'll just move up to the podium. I have something
please.
To put up on the overhead also.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Chair Innes. So what we do every year is there are two components to our roads program. One is growth-related roads, which is partially funded from development charges collected from developers, and this is related to the improvements to roads related to growth. So as we have more people population, we need to improve our roads to handle the additional cars and so on. The other one is repairs and rehabilitation, reinvestment in our roads. And for that, what we do every other year is we have a very high-tech van that travels all of our roads, taking pavement measurements across all of our roads, and then assigning what's called a pavement condition index to the roads. So they go through every road. There's ground penetrating radar, there's cameras, there's a whole bunch of equipment on this vehicle. And when we first did it, the OPP was called because someone thought this vehicle was suspicious and called the OPP, and we have a picture of our consultant with the van with all this high-tech equipment and the OPP vehicle right behind them. So it is a very high-tech van that travels all of our roads, and then based on that, we have a five-year plan, which is posted on our website in terms of the roads that are in most need of rehabilitation according to our pavement condition index. We also look at things like the traffic volume on those roads, and we also coordinate with the region in terms of if there is a regional work in the next year. We do not put that road in this year because if it's a water main project, then they may rip up that road in a future year. So there are many considerations in terms of how we prioritize our roads. And the list that's on our website is our blueprint, but that may change because after every winter, the different roads may not stand up to the winter as well as other roads, and also it may change because that vehicle that I talked about every other year may, some roads may deteriorate faster, so we constantly make those changes. So what is included in Project 19073 in the northwest side of town? You'll see Heart Lake Road there, and it doesn't show up, so I'll just highlight the section from Highway 9 to Beech Grove. That is the section that's included in the budget. So what's being requested is to continue that road down to Charleston and then the full length of Kennedy from Highway 9 to Charleston. So I'll just show you on the map. The total of that project would be $10.6 million, as noted in the amendment there, $5.5 million of which is tax. The impact of the $5.5 million on the town's rate is, I believe, roughly 9% increase. And that concludes the summary.
Thank you. Councillor DeBoer.
Whereabouts do these pieces that are being asked for sit within the plan, the five-year plan?
Through you, Chair Innes, they are currently not in our five-year plan because they are growth-related roads, and as we finish our development charge background study, we'll have a better idea as to refining that five-year plan depending on the growth that's going to happen in that area.
Heart Lake and Beech Grove are growth-related roads?
Through you, Chair Innes, Heart Lake and Kennedy Road, yes.
Oh, okay. I think it's important because I can come up with roads on our side too, and we've never done that in the past as councillors to direct staff to pave and address certain roads. We've relied on and we've invested in the technology so that it becomes an engineering exercise and allocating money. I think if council wants to add a 9% increase to roads, then I think we turn it to staff to address which roads are prioritized. We've never prioritized, as long as I've been here, prioritized roads from the council table. We've always directed staff and controlled how much the total amount of dollars are and asked them to do the roads that are most in need. And while sometimes they're in our ward, sometimes they're not. So I think that's important with regards to this resolution. And if council is supportive of a 9% increase, then I think we would pass that and ask staff to come up with a recommendation as to what roads need to be addressed, because I have roads in my area too that would bode the same compliments, I would say, as that you were getting for these roads.
Mr. Wong?
Thank you, Chair Innes. One point I do want to point out is the staff proposed budget that's before you contains approximately $18 million for the roads program. $18 million is a lot of money to spend on roads, and I agree it is important to reinvest in our roads to keep them in a state of good repair. Even at $18 million, which is roughly the level we've been at for at least the last couple of years, that is not enough to do every single road. So that's why we have to have some methodology to prioritize our roads.
Thank you. Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. I live on the top end of McLaughlin Road, and it's a gravel road. And as I responded to people at the door along Kennedy and Heart Lake, I have a better road than they do. The state of repair of the road surface in there, those areas, is catastrophic for people traveling up and down. And yeah, I guess I have the temerity of coming on council after an election and representing people and then saying, yeah, we need to fix these roads as a priority. So I'm not really interested in the technical details of planning here. And one of the aspects that could be done, for example, would be to turn these roads temporarily into gravel as a first phase. Just grind them right up. Put the existing asphalt debris right into the roadbed and add some gravel, and then maybe next year replace any culverts, do all the ditching that's necessary, and then the next year do some hard surfacing. I mean, this is a staggering sum of money, no question. So I'm looking for value engineering and a different approach. Continuing on with the service level you've got, it's extremely discouraging to the taxpayers along those roads, not only to experience the damage to their vehicles, but also to watch town staff show up with shovels and meaninglessly fill potholes that break out within days. So some action has to be taken here. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Well, I think no matter where you go in Calvin, we got a problem. And to me, I think St. Andrews Road is another bad one. Question I have is, when you're looking at a 9% tax increase just on that alone, that's when you look at what are their options as far as debenturing. You know, I know at one time we used to have the Ontario Municipal Grant, we used to have provincial gas tax, and both of those are gone, or this would be an issue we wouldn't have the discussion about. But we don't have any funding at this point, so is there a possibility, I guess, if you're going to do these roads, if you're going to do a debt debenturing, is there other roads that we need to do, and what does that package look like? Is that something that's doable?
Mr. Galloway.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair, to Mayor Thompson and some of the other councillors that have commented on this. I just have to remind council, and usually I do this from time to time, hopefully in a polite way as I possibly can, is that the current philosophy of how we have gone about our extended or our additional roads program is something that council over the last number of years, at least since I've been here, has been supportive of, and actually we're the leaders and the drivers of the enhanced road program. So the philosophy that what roads get done, how we measure the pavement condition, the extended use of life of certain road networks based on certain works that can be done, that is a philosophy. Obviously council, and it wasn't this council, but it was certainly the previous council and probably the even previous council to them. If you want to change that philosophy, because we're getting into a discussion about a philosophy of how we go about and how much money we spend on an extended a road program, that ultimately at the end of the day is your decision. Staff has given a lot of information over the last number of years as it relates to what's outstanding, the road conditions, and as Mr. Wong has indicated, some of the indexing and some of the lengths that the town has gone to over the last number of years to ensure that we have a really good inventory of what roads need to get done. But the reality is that you know, the old saying is it's only money. But if we had unlimited amount, we could certainly do more, but that's not obviously applicable here. So I know that at budget time, from time to time, discussions about specific individual areas, but I think the larger discussion needs to be had in the event that council wants to change its current philosophy that staff is working under, and the premise that they've been given and the direction to follow is going to be changed. Well, that is council, and that is your role. And if you wanted to have a larger discussion on that, probably today is not the right time, but we certainly could develop some of that information for a more fulsome, fuller discussion about do you want to see, or options of having your strategy and philosophy change on how we get roads done, and how many are still outstanding and unavailable due to, you know, funding, essentially. So I just offer that at this point of the discussion, because you've had a great debate so far on the topic, but we are getting into the realm of an overall philosophy and strategy discussion that could be done at a different time, because we're not going to accomplish everything here today at this table with every road, that you probably have in each of your wards that you'd like to have some action on. Thank you.
So the community work plan is probably where you want to go, but I guess I have one more question. That was the first, but my second part is to do like what we have done with Kennedy Road to the south, is grind it up and turn it into gravel for a year to get this. Is that right in the basic operations? We don't need a budget line for that, do we?
Because of through Chair Innes, we can look at that. Mayor Thompson is correct. We do not need a budget line for that. If we determine that that is the best way to maintain the road over the next couple of years, we will endeavor to do that.
Okay.
Thank you. Motion presented by Councillor St. Clair, seconded by Councillor St. Clair. You have more to say?
So what do I tell my residents? That the town has a philosophy that it's perfectly okay to have roads in such terrible shape that it smashes up their vehicles.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I think to summarize, the town has a roads program that is approximately $18 million, and we do have a methodology to prioritize those roads. Not all the roads can be done at the same time. We have been spending approximately $17 to $18 million over the last couple of years, and I have heard positive feedback from the residents who have had their roads done, but again, not all the roads can be done at the same time.
So how do we get any action on these roads at all?
So I think to reiterate Mr. Wong's response, if you would like action on those roads, you have two choices. You can increase the budget and hope that that bumps them up on the list, or you can go Mayor Thompson's suggestion as to creating a plan with staff about perhaps taking it back to a gravel road. With that, you're going to have to create a plan to ensure that there will be a rebuilding and a repaving of that road in the future.
Status quo is unacceptable.
Councillor DeBoer, did you want to add anything?
Well, just that I think Councillor Sinclair had mentioned that he came here representing residents. We represent residents too, and I do take exception to the fact that he might say that he represents the residents. I do as well represent my residents, but I also represent and look at the fiscal responsibility within Caledon, and that is that we have so many dollars, $18 million as was outlined, to go into the roads program. If you want to expand the roads program, there is a way. We can increase the budget to have more roads done, but the fairest way to do it isn't picking and choosing the roads here, but have them assessed with technology and looking at which roads should be done sooner based on their overall conditions and the condition scores and traffic volumes, the way staff have been doing it. We can politicize road construction, but we've always stayed away from that. When we only had $1 million around this table, when I first got on council to do all the roads and programs in Caledon, we had to figure out a way to balance it to come up with a plan that we could start addressing it. We added money for many, many years to continually pick off the roads, but we also knew that each one of us, whether we were from Bolton or every other ward in Caledon, we all had roads that needed to be addressed. So we also asked for a fair way to address the roads. We did the enhanced program because we wanted to address roads, a certain number of roads, sooner rather than later. So we expanded the program with the enhanced roads program. I think staff can explain the difference between the two programs. And also the different stages. We've also looked at improving our crack sealing program so that roads last longer. We've done the shave and pave to address roads, and I've dealt with it in my area, and I think Annette probably too, because we've had a lot of those where the road isn't totally destroyed, but we invest a small amount of money today to re-top them so that they last a whole lot longer, and we've expanded into that area. It takes time for the residents to understand why are we paving or repaving a road when it isn't in that bad a shape. Well, the reality is we're putting a little bit of money into the road now that has been rebuilt not that long ago, some cases 8 or 10 years ago, a new top on them, and that allows us to get another 10, 15, 20 years out of them. We've expanded to that program, and that was only in the last 4 or 5 years. And we can add more dollars to it, but we also have to remember that we have to address it with staff so that they can monitor the construction of the roads. The status quo isn't, we've never had the status quo. Our roads program has been changing as the technology change. I think Operations Manager Steve Dollemeyer came up with the new program on the hard surfacing of some of our smaller roads. We're looking at that as a new expanded program this year. So that's another thing that we've expanded into our road program. We've also added the low-volume roads. We found within our plan that low-volume roads, roads that don't won't show up, even though they are falling apart, don't show up because of the fact that they don't have a high volume of traffic. They always stay at the bottom of the list. We've expanded our roads program to address low-volume roads, to try and pick off some of the smaller roads that don't have a lot of volume, that are paved, that are starting to fall apart so that they get addressed sooner in it. So the roads program, in talking about all the pieces that we've added to it, and if there's new technologies, we're looking at it. If council wants to extend the amount of work that's being done on the roads program, as Councillor Sinclair mentions, then what we do is we have to figure out where the money's going to come from to do it. And our job here is if we want to expand the road program beyond what's being proposed, then we do have a very easy decision to make. Are we going to put more money into it? It's not, let's pick and choose roads in my area and try and bump some other ones off. It's, we got to put money in the roads program to address the needs within every community in Caledon in a fair and equitable manner. And I think as far as the roads, they are in terrible shape. But 50% of our traffic, and I imagine Beech Grove and Kennedy Road are drawing all the vehicles out of Orangeville. So we're drawn supporting the traffic that's coming from there, and the fact that we don't get any gas tax money or any subsidies is very important, and that's the other part that we got to send Alan to Toronto to find out why we can't get any support on our roads, because we're providing traffic capacity on our roads that the province used to do and the province used to pay for. So there's a number of issues, and to discuss all of those with your residents and inform them about all the things that we have done, and say, instead of looking at it from the fact that you get damaged to your car. I've got neighbors and staff can tell you how many claims they get downstairs all the time about issues within damage to their roads and to their cars. And we get, when we're working on projects, we get claims for damage to their cars when we're fixing roads. So I think it's important to know that we have a program here. I'm all for putting more money into it, but to start going down the road and I'll sit around here and see who can we pick and choose roads, I don't know if I want to go down that road. I don't want to go down that road. I want to address the need and deficiency within the roads. I want to do it within a fiscally responsible budget. And as far as borrowing more money, I would really have to look at the numbers, because I really don't think that we want to go into a huge amount of debt unless there's an announcement today or this afternoon or this morning or whenever it was going to be. We might change your plan on that. But I think it's important to know that we do have a good program. I think the staff have to be competitive, have to be complimented on putting what we've got together over the last number of years. And it hasn't been just the last staff. It's been probably a succession of a number of staff over the years, and that Steve is bringing new technologies to us so that we can try and address these better. And I think he's got one was the gravel road, bringing the gravel back up out of the ditches so that we can reuse them and rebuild the roads, as being one that we tried out last year on a stretch of road that I think was very successful. And that was people we had here that were looking and brought it to our attention. And they and Steve found a way to address the needs on that road, and we do have good staff, and we need to continue to look for efficiencies and new ways to deal with it, as well as trying to find more money to continue to add to the repairs. But the comments of roads being in terrible shape, we have that all over the place. You'll have it down in Joanna and Allen's ward. We have it up in my corner. We have it everywhere. It's not just here, but we could all sit and pick roads. Even Annette could pick a couple of roads. Thanks.
Councillor Griffiths.
Thank you. And I think part of the problem is age. We are in an aging municipality, and what happens with infrastructure over time, it gets old. It starts to break down. I had this conversation yesterday again in Public Works budget at the region. This is a challenge that we're facing. We have at the region a $1.6 billion shortfall for infrastructure. That's a lot of money, folks. And part of the problem is because the infrastructure is getting old. Our roads are getting old. Temperature is a problem. After the winter, you always have the roads beat up and that. But anyway, I know at the region we have a fund, and we put a certain amount of money, a percentage, in there for state of good repair, and that's over like 10 years, and we build that fund. And I'm just wondering, through you to Mr. Wong, Councillor Innes, if this is something that we are doing, and if not, is it something that we can do?
Mr. Wong.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I like to put up this chart whenever I can. Basically, this chart shows it in the red bars. It shows our tax-funded capital program, and it shows over the last 10 years we have gone from $3.4 million to what we're proposing now is $19.6 million. That's $19.6 million of sustainable, reliable funding for our aging infrastructure and for new infrastructure to support growth. Our capacity has significantly increased from $3.4 million. So just to put it in layman's terms, back in 2009, if we had one fire truck that we needed to replace, one major road and one bridge, that was the extent of our capital program. We could not afford anything more. So over the years, there have been tax increases to increase our capacity for repairs and replacement of our infrastructure. And also when the growth-related program that I talked about, development charges pays for a big portion of it, but the Development Charges Act prevents us from charging developers for 100%. So the town has to pay for a portion of growth-related infrastructure. So new rec facilities, new libraries, improvements to our roads, part of that comes from the tax base, and the proposed $19.6 million significantly increases our capacity to fund that. This came from the budget slide from December 2018, and what Ms. Harrod talked about in that slide was we are proposing 19.6, but based on our preliminary asset management plan, our target right now is 36 million. So okay, we do have a way to go a fair ways to go in terms of where we need to be for repairs, reinvestment, state of good repair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wong. And one more question to you. I guess, and that's good news that you are going to be increasing that, and you will be coming forward, I guess, to us in the first quarter of 2019 to kind of give us an update, right? The other question that I have is with this road, is it possible to phase it in or do it in stages and budget for it over a certain number of years? Mr. Wong?
Through Chair Innes, as I mentioned earlier, we are working on our development charges background study, so as we complete that study, we'll have a better idea as to where this road fits in terms of a better knowledge on timing. Mm-hmm. It is always possible, and that's why what we proposed in the 19 budget is Heart Lake Road from Highway 9 to Beech Grove. We didn't go all the way down to Charleston, so that was our phasing.
Okay. I did have one more comment, but I forgot. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Seeing other speakers on the board, I will add my comments. Just to echo Councillor DeBoer's sentiments, we all have roads. Roads is the number one issue. When I knocked on doors during the election, it was the number one issue was roads. The reality is I don't want to politicize it either. It shouldn't be politicized. all that we should be doing, all that we should do is either increase the budget so that we can do more roads and roads that make sense based on sound, solid engineering, not based on picking one ward over another and one section over another, because the reality is all across Caledon they're bad. And every spring, depending on, you know, this, for example, this past winter was really bad, not the one that we're currently in, but the one before. And the spring was horrible, and there were far more potholes and issues with deteriorating roads than we ever had or that I've seen before. And that obviously is going to change that index and what roads need to be done and when. So I think that sometimes some of these issues, especially when they come to safety, you need to take the politics out of it and make your decision based on sound engineering. And for that reason, I can't support this motion. I'll bring the motion forward, moved by Councillor St. Clair, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. All those in favour? All those opposed? Motion fails. Councillor St. Clair, do you have any others? Okay. At this time, I'm going to Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have three. So I'm going to start with the 19-020 line item in the budget. And do you have one?
Yep. That 2019 budget be amended to remove the funded capital project number 19-020, Town Hall and POA expansion, in the amount of $7,539,252, funded by $6,956,500 of tax levy funding and $582,750 of provincial offense development charge funding. I need a seconder, please. Councillor Rosa. Go ahead, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councillor Rosa and I, we went through our budget document, and this is one of the projects that we looked at and thought, when we're looking at $7 million worth of funding that's on the tax levy, that's really the taxpayers that would be funding that, that's a lot of money. I think the discussion we just had here was fiscal responsibility. And looking at this, I'm not so sure this is a fiscally responsible way to spend the tax dollars. I was actually quite surprised when I saw this, because I don't recall any discussions around an expansion of the town hall. I can tell you that I've been through one expansion of the town hall here, and we had quite lengthy discussions on what is it that we need and how we're going to fund it. I don't recall this. $30 million, and that's just over $30 million over 4 years, is a lot of money. Reason also why I could not support this is we are in some times of uncertainties right now. The province of Ontario is reviewing all the regions. I know they're looking at Peel, York, Durham, Niagara. We don't know what we're going to look like in the next year, in the next 18 months. I don't know that. I think that going forward and putting this sort of money into the budget on the tax levy side is not a fiscally responsible way of doing things. We have a lot of services in there, a lot of things in this budget binder under the pink sheets that's not funded, that this funding actually could take care of a lot of those projects. And those projects are services for our residents, our seniors, and just our residents overall. So when I look at the budget document, I think that the amount for the operating and the capital is just over $5 million. Removing this $7 million, $7.5 million, would take care of all of that. We would be able to fund everything that's in this budget document and then some. I also recall going through the expansion at the region. That went through a whole lot of discussion before we moved ahead with that expansion. Council had an opportunity to debate the issue. Council had an opportunity to discuss the issue, whether there was a need or not to do that expansion. And I recall that part of the reason why we held off on the expansion at the region the region at that point was also in a little bit of a debate on whether or not the region was going to remain as the region appeal or we were going to separate. So that, to me, is the proper way of really doing business and being fiscally responsible to our residents. And I think that in one of the sessions that we had when we, the orientation, one of the things that Mascarin, thank you, brought up was fiscal responsibility, and I do think we owe it to our residents. So I cannot support this at this time. I think that it is premature. I think we need to have more discussions on it. I think that we need to wait and see what the province is going to do, because I certainly don't know what Mr. Ford is going to do with us. Those are my thoughts, and I'm hoping that my colleagues can support removing this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rosa.
Thank you very much. An opportunity to discuss this a little further. I feel as a new councillor, when I looked at the ask and I went into the binder and took a look at it, there wasn't enough information for me. I'm sure, you know, there was a statement about staff reaching capacity, that we were in need of this expansion. But this is a massive amount of money to be asking for us to commit to for the next 4 years. And we really need the information. I would like to have had some evidence to that. I would have liked to have an opportunity maybe to tour the facility here and talk to the different departments on what the needs are. It's very limited information that was made available to us in order to make a decision that was responsible. When we're looking at capacity, I hear from my residents all the time. For example, the Bolton Wanderers Soccer Club, they're saying they have no space. They would love to have a dome that would cover a facility where they could have a four-season facility available. We have arts and culture groups that are saying they have no facility, that they've reached capacity as well. I heard a lot about roads this morning, and I think everybody's in agreement that the roads need to be addressed. So my question is for us to consider is whether or not there are other priorities that need to be addressed before we go ahead with a project of this magnitude, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not comfortable supporting this because I don't have enough information. I really think it's important for everybody to understand that if we do go ahead with this $7.5 million ask today, we're really committed to it for the next 4 years, because the project is a four-year project totaling over $30 million. And if we're going to make that commitment to a project of that magnitude, then we need a presentation. We need evidence. We need background information. We need to understand what it is we're trying to accomplish with that kind of money, what it would look like, how it would better serve our residents, our community. Because we're going to get these questions. I've already gotten questions from my residents. I've already gotten questions from community groups. I've already gotten all kinds of calls and emails to this effect. And I'm not comfortable answering the questions because I don't have the information. So I agree with Councillor Groves that this is a little premature and that it's not something we should be considering at this time. Once evidence has been provided and we can have a better look at it and determine whether or not this is a real need, then and with the backing and the evidence provided to everyone here and also to those in the public, then maybe we can consider that. But right now, I had to dig deep into this binder, and I found the one sheet that asked for the request, but there was nothing there to support that. So I would ask that my colleagues here put a hold on this moving forward.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Excuse me. I guess there were a lot of things mentioned. In terms of additional background information, I did hear from a councillor at the budget open house that additional information was requested related to this. So in anticipation of it potentially coming up today, I have prepared a memo that I can distribute. And what we'll do is, so that everyone has it, we can attach this memo to next week's council meeting agenda on the budget also. But for the time being, I can distribute this. And it's a 4 or 5 page memo that outlines what our current situation, the need, and so on. If you want, I can outline a couple of items, or we'll just leave the memo with the committee right now.
There is another council that has another question. I'm going to say this is a lot of information to retain. It's a big project. I'm going to echo the sentiments of Councillor Groves, especially as the Ward 3-4 councillor. I've asked numerous times to sit down and have a discussion about the Town Hall campus master plan. So as Councillor DeBoer, it's not happened. This is part of it. Phase 3 and 4 is part of it. What we're doing at where the Ball Diamonds and the paramedic and the tennis courts are, that's part of the Town Hall campus master plan. All of those things have never transpired. This is a huge project. Knowing that we've been part, I'm part of the project at the TRCA with the new headquarters. It's a $40 million project. We get updated as a board every 6 months on that project. There's input, there's public process. This is a master project, and I'm going to let Councillor Kiernan speak because she's next on the board, but I'm going to say, Mr. Wong, that I think it's almost too little information, far too late. That I think that this deserves an entire time at a future council meeting where that's one item that we simply discuss is the future of the Town Hall campus master plan and Town Hall itself. Being a former employee for 10 years and watching staff move from one department to another department to another section to another section, end up back where they were, knowing that every time those staff moves, that's thousands of dollars, is frustrating. It's also frustrating when I look around and I walk around and I go up to the different departments and we're crammed. I know that we're bursting at the seams. Some of the new members of council may not realize that, but we are. And I know that we're growing and that we need to add that staff component. And I respect that and understand it. And in order to serve our residents better, we do have to have the people here to serve them. But it needs to be done openly, transparently, and there has to be a full public process. And so while we have this now, I don't think having a presentation now is part. And I do agree with Councillor Groves that it should probably be deferred. And maybe we can even have a discussion if we want to put a reserve where we know that we have to do this, where we start collecting the taxes now to do it, but there's no approving a town hall, I think, here today. I'm looking around the table. I'll wait for the vote. This is a big project, and it should be discussed more wholesome amongst all these members of council. Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you, Councillor Innes, through you. And here, I totally agree with what Councillor Innes has said. It's timing as well. If we take, and we're not approving seven something million, we're actually approving 30 million today. Let's be straight up about that. Apropos what Councillor Sinclair said, and I don't want to get ward sensitive, but I represent primarily Ward 1. I'd be run out of town on a rail if I voted for this. On a ward that has no recreation facilities, no pool, nothing. That we lost. And for me to sit here today and approve this would be fiscally irresponsible to my residents, to the people who elected me. And I think I used this term earlier today. It is my job to be the financial steward here for the residents. So whether it's needed, whether it's a time-sensitive, real need, is to be determined. That has not been shown to us, in my opinion. We are open to see that. Maybe in the short term, if, as Councillor Innes says, we're bursting at the seams, and I don't doubt that that's potentially a fact, maybe there could be some restructuring design, amendments that could be made to accommodate the staff. I come from corporate Canada. I come from a place where at times you do burst at the seams, and you have to sometimes you have to deal with that because your stockholders won't approve an expansion. So that's who our residents are. They're our stockholders. So I agree this needs to be put on hold. Imagine, let's look back at those surveys, on the budget surveys. The number one thing from each and every ward across this lovely, beautiful town, number one, roads, every single time. We just talked about roads. If we really dig down hard here, we could get a real serious road project going for this next year. And then give the staff time to present a case, to give us the information, to give us the facts, so that we can make a properly informed decision. So I wholeheartedly will be voting to put, at the very least, a hold on this. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I've heard a lot of, and I agree that the information is a bit late in coming. Based on what I heard at the budget open house, we prepared this as soon as we could, and this was the first opportunity we could bring it in front of council. But I guess the last expansion was last done in 2003, and with the proposed build out that we have planned here, around 2022, that expansion would have lasted about 20 years. And what we're planning here is an expansion to take us to the next 20 years. But I hear what around the table in terms of possibly putting a hold on this. There is one thing I'd like to point out from a financial point of view. If you do want to defer or delay this, my recommendation, and I've got a few options in the memo, would be that you either, as you mentioned, Chair Innes, perhaps approve and hold it pending additional information that's received by council or a business case proven, so that the money is set aside and is there should we decide to move forward, or you could direct staff to basically keep that $7 million of tax funding in the budget and direct staff in February to come back and identify what additional projects to do, or just direct that funding to the tax-funded capital reserves. And the reason why I'd like to point those options out is, I'll put something on the overhead here. So again, my favorite chart. The tax-funded capital program has gone from $3.4 million to a proposed $19.6 million, and that is annual funding, again, for our repair replacement of infrastructure and growth-related infrastructure. If we take the $7 million proposed for the town hall funding, the tax portion, out completely, and we do not, that sets our program out, sets our program back about four-plus years. So taking from 19.6, taking $7 million out gets us down to 12.6. And if you look back, we were at $12.9 million in 2015. So 12.6 is below 2015 level. So that sets our program back.
Thank you. So I'm going to ask that should this motion that is presented pass, I'm going to ask for a break right after this because I think everybody needs one. I'm going to ask that for that $7 million, if you take all of the capital pink sheets, just the capital ones that are pink sheets, what does that total? What is the remaining amount? And perhaps we add that to a roads program. I'm going to put that in everybody's heads as we're going to head into a break, but there are some additional people that would like to speak. So, Councillor DeBoer.
And my question, or my direction for conversation was going to be exactly that, and that we need to continue the track that we've started, and we actually started it before that, but Fu Ying wants to have just the piece where he was here for, right? Because you started in 09. But we started before that, and we need to continue down this track because it's been demonstrated that this is what we need to do. We have to get to 36 now, being the projected replacement cost of our assets over the course of the next number of years, and somewhere along the lines we've got to continue slowly. So I would like to see, as the conversation was before, the $7 million found other uses. I don't know if we should be looking at the pink sheets. My question would be is, do we have the capacity to put that into a total roads program if we're not going to look at a building at this point in time?
Mr. Wong.
Through Chair Innes, that's why one of the options that I laid out is leave the placeholder of $7 million and staff will come back in February, because this is not something that we want to decide on the fly. I think Councillor DeBoer mentioned that I purposely didn't mention it, but if we get into a massive roads program, if we add $7 million to our roads program, there is a staffing component related to that. If it's one or two roads, that's not an issue. But if it's multiple roads, then we get into, do we have the staff capacity to manage all of those contracts and manage all of those contractors? It's not in dealing with one project this past summer. The project manager has to deal with the contractor. They have to deal with residents who are upset about possibly noise, dust, and so on related to that construction. So if we add more projects and we don't add the people, you may end up with you may not end up with proper supervision of our contractors.
But I also don't want to end up finding a bunch of capital projects or doing a bunch of capital projects today without having a look at what makes sense. Because, yes, they're part of the pink sheets, but I know that through the reviews, there's probably a lot of projects that don't make it into the binder as well. And there's a lot of other things that happen if we're going to go down the way to discuss it. Plus, maybe if staff do present and come to the conclusion that, and we come to the conclusion, maybe the building is what's warranted once we have some more information, then that is the possibility. But I think the question over the building, over what it gets used for, all of that stuff should be part of what goes on between in February and have that discussion, but to try and keep the money there set aside and that won't get spent until approved by council. And I would suggest that we make an amendment to Annette's motion to that effect. I would.
So are you making it now or do you want to let?
Yeah. Or we can take a break though first because
we're dealing with the issue before we take a break.
Okay.
So my Councilor amendment Groves would still wants to speak. She's okay. On the speaker list. Yep. You want to let us speak and then you can come back on. Councilor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm sorry, Mr. Wong, but I can't leave a placeholder there. I don't think that we need to. I think Councilor Innes talked about open and transparent, a public process having public input. That's what we need. There is no way. Councillor Kiernan said she'd be run out of town if she approved this. I would be. There are a lot of needs in the community, so I'm sorry, but I cannot even put a placeholder on it to say we're going to come back in February. I think that if we're looking at this expansion, we need to have that discussion before we start committing dollars to it. So I can't support that.
How come my thing's not working?
Did you want to comment, Mr. Wong?
I just wanted to clarify, Chair Innes, the placing a placeholder for the town hall expansion was one option. The option where I talked about coming back in February, that was a placeholder to keep the $7 million related to infrastructure, capital infrastructure, and staff would come back in February to identify whether it's roads, facilities, stormwater, what projects we would allocate that to. That was the second option. And then the third option is basically taking that money and putting it in our tax-funded capital program to fund future projects, not necessarily town hall expansion. I hear the direction is to come back with full information and further discussion on the town hall expansion. So those are just options for the committee to consider.
Okay. So just for clarification, what staff are suggesting is that we take that $7 million and we make it a placeholder until February, where a report will come back that will identify what programs, roads, infrastructure, stormwater management, because that is another issue that we have. We also have the development issue where the what item is that? What number is that, Mr. Wong? Where the developments, we didn't take enough securities in the past, and now these developments are left unassumed, and we have to go in and clean them up. This is an opportunity to fix some of those, especially in our estate subdivision areas, residents that have been living without assumption of their subdivisions for years and years and years and still paying taxes. So this is an opportunity for us to say that we're not going to decrease our capital funding, and we're going to reserve that $7 million. Staff are going to come back with a proposal that we will discuss at that time to address all of those issues and concerns. So just to be clear that that's what staff are suggesting, and I'm not sure if that's what Councillor DeBoer was going to make as an amendment to this motion.
My amendment was or is that it stays within the capital budget, but that staff bring back a report in February to review the projects that are most beneficial, including what you've based on the conversation here today, which was roads program. Stormwater management is a huge issue that we're going to have to start to deal with, and it's an issue that is going to be very expensive. We're going to have to start down that road. So I think that my intent for the resolution or the amendment was to bring it back in February so that we can get more information. I don't want to make the decision here on the fly and all of a sudden add a bunch of roads or add a bunch of projects out of the pink sheets and say this is what we're doing when there could very well be a better way to handle it once we take a step back and we have a look at it and got some more time. Today's going to be a very long day, so that's just a way to move this topic along. But then also keep in mind that we've got now a $36 million or a $16 million gap that I think Annette talked at the region is billions of dollars having a capital gap. Ours is $16 million gap. So to put it into perspective, ours isn't as big, but we're a whole lot smaller. So we've got to keep in mind that that is a gap that we need to continue to work on filling, and we're almost at the $20 million one that we started 10 years ago down the road to our goal, and it took 10 years to get to here.
So I have an amendment by Councillor DeBoer that reads that the 2019 budget be amended to add tax levy funding of $6,956,600 to the tax-funded capital contingency reserve to fund future projects and staff to report back to Council in February 2019. Hold on, sorry, there's two here. To February 2019 to provide further information to Council about the town hall. Nick, did you want to take a moment to do this properly and then we'll come back? Okay, you know what, I'm gonna call a 5 minute break and then we'll come back. And just to make some clarification, so in order to procedurally, in order to bring the amendment that was proposed by Councillor DeBoer, it's actually contrary to Councillor Groves' motion, so I can't make it as an amendment. It has to be a standalone motion on its own. So what would need to happen in order to bring that forward is this council to either approve or defeat this motion. You can't withdraw it because it's already on the floor. So so you can approve it, right? So you can move to approve this, and then Councillor DeBoer will bring his motion forward to do as we were discussing prior to the break. Okay, does everybody understand? Okay, so we can't amend this motion with what we were proposing to do, because it's contrary. We're not allowed to do contrary amendments to main motions. So you can approve this or defeat it. It doesn't really matter because the next motion will come forward, which will be as we discussed to do with that six and a bit million. Does everybody understand? So we could defeat it. Everybody, yeah, I can't tell you how to vote, but if we all defeated this motion, and then the next motion that will come forward will do as we wanted to amend this motion. Just procedurally, this is how we have to deal with it. Yes, Councillor Councillor DeBoer.
I think that if you don't support Annette's motion and you defeat it, so that stays into the budget, and then you pass mine, you've actually created a trail that increases it by that amount. I think you have
support Councillor Groves' motion to remove the money
and then
for that purpose, because
yes,
that's removing the money for that specific purpose. Councillor DeBoer's motion speaks to inserting the money and for what purpose. Okay?
Yep.
Everybody clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to clear the board because we don't really need to speak, right? No speakers. Perfect. Moved by Councillor Groves, seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favor? Carried. So now I'm going to add Councillor DeBoer's motion that reads that. That the 2019 budget be amended to add a new capital project in the amount of $6,956,600 funded from the tax levy, and that staff report back to Council in February 2019 with the details of the capital projects moving forward with the $6,956,600 funding envelope. And I need a seconder. Councillor Groves. Councillor Groves would like to speak.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Council. And I just to this, to Councillor DeBoer's amendment, a question through you, Madam Chair, to Mr. Galloway. Just for clarification for the our residents that are in the audience, to so that we are clear, when staff comes back, so this placeholder is here, when staff comes back with the in February, at that point in time, members of Council, will they be able to look at some projects that they might want to add into be part of this $6 million funding, and then that the town hall, to make sure that the town hall expansion is completely off the books.
Mr. Galloway?
Yes, through you, Madam Chair, to Councillor Groves. Correct. The simple process is you're approving the funding envelope. It will not include town hall expansion, but the funding envelope will include projects that probably some of them will be part of the pink sheets will be brought forward, and we will give you some recommendations based on what we've heard today in relation to enhancing even further our roads projects. So we will put together a package for you that will list the various projects that will make up potentially that 6.9, and then no doubt, as you always do during committee meetings, you can have a debate about the merits of that as well. So hopefully that's clear as mud. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Okay. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Groves. All those in favor? Carried. Councillor Groves, did you have any others?
I do. Thank you. Actually, I have two. So the other is that the reads, the following paragraph be added, that the CAO be directed to engage in discussions with the Caledon Firefighters Union regarding their request to consider increasing the staffing complement as part of the upcoming collective agreement negotiations, and when appropriate, report back to Council. And that's it. And so, Madam Chair, if I may just sort of...
First of all, I need a seconder, Councillor Rosa. And before we go into discussions, I'm going to ask, I'm not sure who's the most appropriate to ask, whether or not it's Mr. Galloway or Ms. Hall. Is this viewed as contract and employee negotiation contract, and should this be discussed in camera prior to having a discussion publicly?
Through you, Madam Chair, I would suggest that if you're going to have a debate about this motion, that certainly it would border on contract negotiations and that you would go in camera. If Council decides that they wish to go with this motion as approved, it really is just giving me direction to do exactly what I would have done as part of the collective agreement and proceed forward in that being at least a discussion point during my negotiations with the union.
Okay. So that being said, I only have one person on the board, so I'm going to ask Councillor St. Clair if you want to debate and discuss. Please let me know if you'd like to continue, and then we'll move in camera. Otherwise, we can leave it open. If you want to ask questions... And to debate it and discuss it amongst us, it's recommended that we go in camera. Otherwise, if we support this motion, it's basically just requesting the CAO to continue to do what he would do anyways. So the motion's somewhat null and void. It's not completely necessary, but if it's a motion in good faith, then...
I guess I would be looking for detailed information about... particularly responses to calls on up and down the Ward 1, essentially. So I don't know where that fits
Galloway.
In. Don't need it now.
Yes, through you, Chair Innes, to Councillor Sinclair. Part of the updates I give Council during collective agreement discussions in camera, you'll receive some of that information. Thank you.
Satisfied, Mr. Sinclair? Councillor Sinclair?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor Rosa. All those in favor? Carried. Councillor Groves, do you have any further?
Yeah, thank you. And the last one I would like to bring forward is that that the 2019 budget be amended to increase the annual funding in funding provided to Caledon Community Services in the amount of $75,000 funded from the tax levy for the purposes of expanding their transportation programs across okay. Caledon.
Before you continue, can I ask staff to just put up on the board where we currently are, please? And with this proposed request, what does that change it to? So that's council members know. And then I need a seconder. Councillor St. Clair. And Councillor Groves, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I brought this motion forward because we've had some discussions and we've, I think some of us around the table have met with Caledon Community Services with regards to the transportation services that they provide. I know that the region funds a large chunk of the transportation services for Caledon Community Services, and I think we're funding in the amount of somewhere around $493,000 per year. And the region does pay for and buy their buses as well. Unfortunately, on our side, the funding is quite low, and the funding that the town provides to Caledon Community Services for transportation from our gas tax funding is about $3,000, if I'm correct. Having said that, the need has grown for transportation for our seniors and those individuals with cognitive and physical disabilities. Now, part of the reason for also, I mean, we're dealing with this at the region as well as an increase, because part of that is also the AODA, which is the Disabilities Act, the Ontario Disabilities Act. They've made some changes to that act, and we have to be in compliance. And to get us into compliance, it requires funding. And so this has been a struggle for Caledon Community Services, as it is also for the Region of Peel that provides accessible transportation. So I'm hoping that we're able to fund this in the 2019 budget, and following that, maybe have some conversations with Mr. Chan, as he is working on the transportation master plan, I believe, and I think he's coming forward in the spring sometime to present that plan and to also go out to the public, that maybe long term we could look at how we could how and if we can fit this into that program under transportation, so that it doesn't have to come back year after year as an ask. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. The town is currently undergoing a transit feasibility study in terms of looking at transit, how to implement transit, and we've gone through an extensive consultation period. CCS is included as part of that consultation, as well as talking to seniors, students, many different organizations, TransHelp at the Region of Peel. And we wouldn't recommend basically funding right now because it would predetermine the outcome of that transit feasibility study. We would like to wait until after that transit feasibility study is completed and look at how CCS fits into that, if it does fit into that. Further, CCS was provided a grant from MTO. It's called the Ministry of Transportation Community Transportation Grant Program. I believe it's $500,000 over a four-year period. We received the announcement in April of 2018. Since then, and after the provincial election, we have not heard on the status of that grant yet as to whether or not they are proceeding with it, dispersing the funds. I think that is a source of CCS's concerns in terms of asking for this money in advance of the completion of the transit feasibility study. So because they potentially could still be eligible for that grant, they were certainly awarded it according to the letter from April 2018, and our transit feasibility study that's currently underway to be completed, I think, mid this year. We don't recommend funding that at this time.
Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Wong. So a question for you then. Well, I guess when you come back in February, the Mr. Chan won't be ready then with his transit feasibility presentation.
Through Chair Innes, our plan is to bring back the preliminary results of the transit feasibility study to Council in February, then go out to the public in March, get the public's feedback, and then in April, May, to come back with the final recommendations so that we can have implementation this year.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm looking for, Mr. Wong, and through the Chair, is somehow, because they are struggling, and I hear that from some of the folks that who require transit, the seniors and some of those with disabilities. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is there is absolutely, I guess, they can't get the funding this year is what you're saying, because we're predetermining that because it'll go ahead of Mr. Chan's transit feasibility study. So there is no way that they can get that this year?
Mr. Wong.
Through Chair Innes, that is correct. And we have talked to CCS about that through our consultation with them, and we will continue to consult with them in terms of what their needs are, the programs that they're providing, and how that fits in with the overall transit feasibility study.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's not good news. I was hoping that we would be able to fund them just to get them through this year and then revisit it or have those discussions continue in the with the transit study. But anyway, I'll leave it up to my colleagues. Thank you.
Okay, just a question. So normally when we have organizations that are requesting funding to council, similar to CCS, and I know that they did speak to individual councillors, but normally they come and present their case before all of council so that it be considered as part of the budget process. Did that not happen, or did they reach out to staff?
Okay.
What's wrong?
Chair Innes, there is the Municipal Agricultural Community Grants Program, mm-hmm. and all organizations can apply for that. In terms of this particular case, we have been working with CCS. We have had several consultation meetings with CCS individually and within a group setting. So we have been working with them in terms of understanding what their program and offerings are and how that would fit into our program. I think it would be premature at this point to proceed with an allocation of $75,000 dedicated for this.
And that makes sense why they came directly to councillors, because they knew what staff's report or recommendation was going to be. Councillor Early.
Thanks, Madam Chair. While this is an extremely worthwhile initiative, no one would argue that, I would be concerned that we throw $75,000 without understanding where it's earmarked to and whether or not their structure and their infrastructure is ready to accept those dollars. I think that I would be very interested in seeing that study. I'd like to see how we parallel with TransHelp, what the ride fees are. I think there's a lot of things that we don't have at our fingertips right now to make a decision on $75,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Innes, a difficult request for sure, for definitely a very worthy community organization. I've spent the last 4 years on the board for CCS, and not to mention a lot of my own personal time and dollars through fundraising. So this, it is difficult, but I think something that we struggle with at the CCS table, being one of the only community service support systems within the town, but something that the conversation I do raise at that table, is that most of the services, with the exception of transportation under CCS, are human services, which fall under the region. And so I think that because of the depth and breadth of the services that CCS provides, it sometimes becomes difficult to match funding with particular services because there are so many, all coming from different areas. But I do agree, I concur with Councillor Innes that you know, it would be nice to hear from the organization coming here to us at the appropriate time and the appropriate measures. I also think that it, in all fairness, with the transit feasibility study coming forward, CCS has been encouraged to be part of that and really explore it as we move forward with them. And you know, maybe this is definitely the type of financial relationship that we could see through that. But I, as Mr. Wong alluded to, I wouldn't want to predetermine that. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Yeah. Procurement's an interesting animal, and you want to be open and transparent. And if you're and I understand where Councillor Groves is coming from, been promised funding in 2018, and we're now 2019. We're still expecting them to service our rural community. Have they reached out to the town for even if they needed, if they're for bridge financing or financing to know to get them to continue the service that they're providing to our rural residents?
Mr. Wong?
Through Chair, and it's the request we received in December of 2018 was for the $75,000 of funding.
Okay. And you replied back? Sorry. Back to CCS on the reasoning why?
Through Chair Innes, I don't think we formally responded back, but through previous discussions with them, they are aware that we have told them that we have to wait until after the transit feasibility study.
Okay. Could we please correspond with that? Because I think it's only fair for the Board of Volunteers.
We will do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, and no matter how this decision goes, I would maybe request that Mayor Thompson, on behalf of Council, send a letter to our MPP requesting a follow-up on where that funding is from 2018 that was promised. She was the sitting MPP at that time, so she should be aware of the file, and perhaps she could assist CCS and Caledon in moving that forward. Thank you. Seeing no other speakers on the board, moved by Councillor Grove, seconded by Councillor St. Clair. All those in favor? All those opposed? Motion fails. Councillor Groves, do you have any further? Thank you. Mayor Thompson.
Yes. What I want to do is go to the grants that are on this, which is, I do believe is the addendum C. One is I noticed there are some shortfalls. Even they've got some, but probably not enough. And I'll use the Callan community the Callan Village group, especially looking for the funding for their lights, you know, and hanging of their stuff. The funding I know is not going to cover their costs of taking them up and down. Are they eligible for funding coming out of the golf tournament, or because we've already given them something and they're not? I'm just making sure we're adequately funding this community grant program, and we did enhance this by how much? That was my second question.
Ms. Hare.
Through the chair to Mayor Thompson, we did two things. So when we were looking at these grants, we realized that there was a budget request to add snowflakes and holiday lighting in the budget. So we knew that there was assistance planned for these villages in the budget. So we kept that in mind when allocating funds to these organizations. The other thing was is that we did put a request in to add $5,000 in 2019's budget to this program, to the MACG program, and we're going to add another $5,000 in 2020 to keep increasing the funding. They would still be eligible to apply to the golf grants, We always keep in mind when evaluating who has applied and what funding they've received, it really depends on how many organizations apply, how many have received funding before we could actually say whether we would recommend funding. They wouldn't be ineligible, but we just consider the fact that they have received other assistance from the town before making a final decision. But it really depends on the pool of applicants that we have.
Okay. Where I'm coming from, and I know it's community grants and agriculture grants, and they're there. These are volunteers that serve our community. And if we lose them, this here is just a drop in the bucket that it would cost to have the staff to do the needs, what these volunteers do. I just want to make sure we're adequately meeting the needs of what was asked. Because at the end of the day, if we had to pay for this full pop, this is just a drop in a bucket. And that's where I'm just wanting to go. So I know you're working through it. And, you know, I read through it. I'm just trying to find the details. I'm just making sure we adequately hit the needs that we're really needing to get to. Thank you.
Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. Yes. Sure, I wait all this time and then you catch me ill prepared.
Sorry, is it that the 2019 budget be amended?
Yes, that the following paragraph be added, please, that the 2019 budget be amended to add the unfunded capital project 19-086 Asheville Walkways Program in the amount of $150,000 tax levy funding.
I need a seconder.
Yes.
Councillor Sinclair.
Can I give a brief synopsis?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It's just I brought to staff's attention late last week with regards to some walkways. Primarily, I talked about the ones up in Callan Village that run from the subdivisions over to Callan Village Place, and it's they're quite old. The infrastructure is quite broken down. They're tripping hazards. They're a liability problem to us anyway. The asphalt is heaved and. There's seniors trying to get there. So bringing forward staff's recommendation was this is how we would alleviate that. So that's why I'm putting this forward. Thank you.
Mr. Wong, did you want to make any comments? No? Or sorry, it's Ms. Tollett. Sidewalks?
Yeah.
But you don't want to talk? Okay.
I
that's okay. There was no questions. Just wondering if you want to add anything. Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Maybe staff can be quicker, and I'm trying to pull it out here, but is there specific sidewalks included in this, or?
See, Mr. Wong, you're going to have to speak anyway.
Thank you, Chair Innes. I believe I spoke enough today.
We can always learn more from you.
Okay, my apologies. What's included in your budget binders is just a walkway program, and this was one of the we wanted to introduce a more proactive program to look after our asphalt walkways. So it does not include the details that's on the overhead right now. What's included in the 150 that's proposed that's actually currently below the line are four walkways, and three of them are in Caledon Village and one is in Bolton.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer, any other questions?
Well, is there an intent to continue with this program? Because we've got asphalt sidewalks everywhere, right?
Yeah, through you, Chair Innes, that's correct. The intent was this was the start of an annual program for our asphalt walkways. So after we deal with these ones, we would look at proposing another 150 for next year and so on and so on. Given the proposal or given the motion that was approved earlier on the $7 million, perhaps we can expand this as part of that in February.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and I did forget to ask staff to put up where we're at and what it would be if we added this 150. Okay. Are there any other speakers?
No, it's going up.
Are there any speakers? No? Okay, Mayor Thompson, your mic is still on. I'll just add I think that it's a good initiative that we start a replacement because we do want to be hopefully we're all going to be aiming towards becoming an age-friendly community, and this only adds to it, keeping an active, healthy community that's connected, that you can push a stroller or you can use a wheelchair on and not fall, is important for all of our communities across Caledon. So, but given that we've just had a discussion about, you know, I'm always one that wants to keep our taxes as low as possible and get as much as we can for them. And if we can incorporate this as part of that $7 million, and knowing that moving forward, we're going to be seeing this 150 year after year, it's similar to what we do for our trailways. We know that we put in, I think it's 50,000 every year to do restoration works along our trailway network. So it's something that we need to add to the budget. And I, you know, if this doesn't pass, I would strongly suggest, Mr. Wong, that this be part of your report that would come back in February, because I think it's something that all of us could see supporting throughout all of Caledon. Are there any other speakers? None. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, seconded by Councillor St. Clair. All those in favor? So you're adding this to the budget right now? Outside of that $7 million? Okay. All those in favor? Carried. Can staff put up where we are now, please? Councillor Kiernan, do you have anything else? No? Are there any other amendments, questions, comments? This is where we're sitting at. Councillor DeBoer.
This is a question for Public Works, and I noticed that there was a grader in the pink sheets, unfunded. It says it's for growth related. Now, it relates back to the ice storm that we had, and it was very local, it seemed to be, because I get calls in my area, and I don't know if it went anywhere else, but it was the gravel roads. The paved roads are pretty good, but the gravel roads are really hard with ice. And my understanding is that I did have one road that didn't get see a grader till really, really late. Now, my question is, the grader, I believe it's DC's, it would have to be a replacement, but is it something that we should be looking at, because I think we're going to get more ice storms than we are snowstorms in the future, and are we going to have more issues with regards to addressing the ice on the gravel roads, because that's our only weapon of choice, per se, to say, on the gravel roads, because we can't send up, I don't know if we send trucks up there, and we can't put salt down. So to make sure that we don't end up with long delays in servicing our gravel roads when the ice storm does happen, is this a need?
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. Through you. Basically, with climate change, so to back up a step, what we experienced last week was a bit of an anomaly, and it was isolated to the northeast part of town, the gravel roads there. All of our graders were operational, but there is a concern, it is valid, that with climate change, that this may become the new norm. So with that, we are looking at adaptation measures and adaptation plans to see how we could change the way we do things. One of the things that we are looking at, and the council is aware of, or not all of council may be aware of, is we have a pilot program for surface treatment of our gravel roads, and it's basically a treatment of the gravel roads to, after the treatment, it becomes almost like a hard surface road. That is something that it is included in the proposed 2019 budget as expanding that program. We are going to write a report back to council to identify the success of that program on Boston Mills. So that is one of the things that we're looking at, and the other thing we're looking at is perhaps we have to change our mix of complement in terms of the people assigned to gravel roads as opposed to the paved roads, and maybe supplementing that with other things. So we are going to look at that. The grader itself is, yes, it is a net new grader, but attached to that is an operator. So that's why we're not recommending to move that forward at this time.
Okay, thanks.
Are there any other questions? So, back to the main motion, as amended, moved by Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor DeVore. Are we going to do a recorded vote? All those in favor? This is the main budget, everyone.
The main budget.
Look alive. We're almost there. It's the home stretch. Oh, unanimous. Thank you. Well, minus Tony. So with that, I will close. Oh, sorry, we do. Oh, yeah. I was ahead of myself. So moved by, held by Mayor Thompson, but I'm going to assume it's moved by him, that that the full accurate accounting items identified in staff report 2019-2 be approved and included of budget figures in the December 31st, 2019 audited financial statements, and that the treasurer be authorized to make the required amendments to the budget figures in the town's audited financial statements for any amendments to the town's budget approved by council. Can I have a seconder? Councillor DeBoer. And it was held by Mayor Thompson. Okay. All in favor? Carried. So technically, you're not required to do that at this. It just has to be done at the council meeting. So, okay. The next item is staff report 2019-5 regarding proposed 2019 fees bylaw, that bylaw 2017-79 be repealed and replaced with a bylaw establishing fees set out in Schedule A to staff report 2019-5 in accordance with the Municipal Act 2001 to take effect February 1st, 2019. This item was held by Mayor Thompson. And mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. Mayor Thompson.
No, where I was trying to catch the fees, I caught on the upper one. Was on the community reports, but I do know Councillor Sinclair has a question.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Sinclair.
I'm interested in the municipal numbering bylaw fees. And it looks like $50 for a sign, and then $50 for a pole, and then $300 for insulation. I think we're getting pretty heavy there. And I recall years ago when this numbering system came in, somehow there was a very punitive attitude towards this safety issue. And it may have been the personality of the department head at the time, but it's for safety. And I don't know why these fees are so high. And I don't know why people can't. I certainly put my own sign up on my own post. Had no problem with that. And I'd like to hear some response from staff on why these fees seem high.
Mr. Wong.
Thank you, Chair Innes. The $300 cost is actually a cost recovery. It's more than just simply digging a hole and then installing the pole. We have to order locates to make sure that when we dig, just like everyone else, we're not digging into infrastructure such as Bell, Rogers, gas, or anything else. We send a truck and two staff. So it is a cost recovery to do the insulation.
Okay, so individuals cannot install their own sign?
Mr. Wong? I believe that they can.
Through you, Chair Ennis, I think a while back council asked us to change the bylaw to allow that you could order just the sign, you can order the sign, the pole, you can install it yourself, we would give you instructions how to do it. So the sign bylaw was amended for that.
I guess the next point is I was invited to attend a meeting at a resident's house here in Caledon East. It was at night. I went up and down the street. I couldn't see a number. Everyone has these reflective signs out in the rural area, but in the residential areas, what they have whatever they want on the building, which is fine during daylight. So how can we get consideration of either having people illuminate their signs, numbers on houses, and or have fluorescent reflective signs? And I think emergency responders must have some frustration. Maybe they have a big spotlight that they could put up from the truck to look at houses, but for the rest of us, it's just black. Can we get some conversation on that, please?
Could I perhaps make a suggestion? I know that Councillor DeBoer and I have run into a situation where our older estate subdivisions aren't numbered, and we have had complaints by those residents because the ambulances took longer getting to their houses when necessary because those numbers weren't out. So we had, in the past, I believe we had sent notification to those estate subdivisions, just reminding them that it's for your safety and the safety of your neighbors that you install your emergency numbers. Perhaps we could put something, my suggestion would be perhaps we put something in the next tax bill cycle that goes out, reminding residents that this program is offered, why we have it, and why it's important. If you wanted to take one step further, we could look at, making it mandatory, and then that becomes a bylaw matter and issue that would have to be dealt with. But that would be my initial suggestion. So staff can make a comment, should they wish, and then Councillor Sinclair, you can decide if you would like to bring something back further in the future about how we could address that issue, and because it is a safety issue, definitely a safety issue. Ms. Tullett or Mr. Wong, could we put something in our next tax cycle that would just notify residents that, you know, this is required and it's for your safety and your neighbors? And
Chairness, tax flyers for the interim building that's going out shortly, they have already been printed. We can certainly look at something in June.
And put it in our newspaper ad from time to time, perhaps on our website, Ping Street?
Yes.
Pump out Ping Street? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other, Councillor DeBoer?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I know this is just a small item, but it is important to especially these young people that are getting married. So I do have a friend whose son is getting married, and when they're getting married, there's lots of expenses when you with a wedding. Our fees compared to Orangeville has the fees for the marriage license is $115, and our fees are $150. And I know that it's just a small thing, but you know what, to these young people, it's a big thing. Like, every cent matters. So I'm going to ask that if we can look at it. I don't know.
Mr. Alloway?
Yes, through you, Chairness, to Councillor Groves. What we'll do is we'll just do a quick survey of some of the area municipalities to find out what they're charging, and we can report back to Council. A lot of our fees, I can tell you, because I've been through the discussions a number of times, and I've asked even on our senior management sessions some of these same questions, but a lot of it comes back to, and there's justification for it obviously, is a lot of it is we're doing a cost recovery. A lot of the fees that you see are specifically just cost recovery. There's no profit margin. Now, there are some fees where there is obviously some margin there, but something like services that we provide, especially like a marriage license. And I just know from my time many years ago when I had to write up a few marriage licenses, we have to pay, is it back then it was about $95 per certificate that we bought from the province. And then there's obviously some staff work involved. So there is a fixed cost to us where we have to pay for the actual license. We can't just print it off a website. They actually are standard forms from the province. We have to pay for stock and then issue. But most of them are cost recovery. But on this specific one, we'll, through the clerk's office and corporate services, we'll look at how our fees compare to some of the other municipalities, our surrounding municipalities, as it relates specifically to marriage licenses.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions or comments, moved by Councillor DeBoer, seconded by Councillor Kiernan. All those in favor? Carried. This concludes General Committee.
2:30.
And is it, what time is that? Lunch. And lunch is available now for council.